Ready. Today is the third Sunday in the season of Advent, and what that means is that today is December 19th. I'm sorry, December 16th. Yeah. I knew that. I just turned it upside down. Just turned that six upside down. Today is December 16th, and I put a little fear into you because this is the time of year when we learn about three different kinds of groups of people. We learn that there are some people who by December 16th have already finished all of their Christmas preparations and all of their shopping is done. Look at you, you're sitting there smugly and judgmentally. Yes, there's one group of people that have already finished it all. And then there's another group of people who, when I say December 16th, nine more days, you get a little bit anxious. And you're a little, ooh, I better pick it up a little bit. And then there are some really reasonable people who are thinking to yourselves, eight more days till it starts. So we know that there are all kinds of different groups here today. Today is the third Sunday in Advent, and today is a day that we have stepped into this service of worship, and we have heard these words. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart. I don't know if you noticed, but these are imperatives. These are commandments that are given to God's people. Commandments to shout, sing, be glad, and rejoice on the third Sunday in Advent. And I don't know if you've noticed, but we've been doing that this morning. We have sung one of the most beautiful and powerful of all the Christmas songs, Joy to the World. Did you notice this morning we started one of the first songs we sang, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. Did you notice that? This evening at 5:30, a group of people are going to gather together over here at his place, and they're going to go out caroling, several dozen people. All of you are invited. We hope you will all come. And they're going to go out and they're going to be caroling to people in their neighborhoods, and they're going to be going to visit some shut-ins, and they're going to be going to visit some people who can't get out, and they're going to be getting out of their cars, and on their way in, they're going to debate with one another, what shall we sing next? And somebody will say, Grandma got run over by a reindeer, and somebody will say, no, I don't know the words to that one. How about Joy to the World? And tonight, I'm willing to bet there are going to be people who are gathered around somebody's front doorstep or somebody's apartment, and they're going to stand there and going to sing, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Now, if this was all that you knew about the human race, if somehow or another you were a sort of a space alien that came in and incognito just watched this morning, you just listened to the reading of the scripture and you observe people going out to do caroling this evening, and this is all you heard, all you knew is this announcement that it is time to sing and to shout and to rejoice and to grant the time of the joy of the Lord, you would have a very narrow view of our world. You would be extremely naive. You would not know if that was all that you saw. You would not know that some of the very people who are singing those songs are going to go back to their homes and they're going to face a pile of bills and they're going to stand in front of the pile of bills and they're going to shake their heads and they're going to say, how in the world am I ever going to pay these off? You wouldn't know that some of the people that are going out singing Joy to the World have physical challenges and their health is turning south and they're not sure where it's going. And if that was all you knew, people singing and speaking about joy, you would not know what took place in Connecticut this week. You would not know that, is it 27? 27 people who lost their lives in Connecticut this week in the most horrific kind of evil. It's appropriate, I think, Nancy, I'm not sure you even meant to say it this way. It is so appropriate that you said, I'm going to try to light the candle of joy today. Because that's where we are. We're going to try to light the candle of joy on a day that is so deeply, powerfully full of grief for all Americans. How do we light the candle of joy today? You know, the church has its critics. I'm sure you've noticed. And there are some people who would criticize us for what we're going to do today. There are some people who would say that rejoicing on a day like today is just a cover-up. It's just an escape from what is. They would say that that our celebration of Advent today is a little bit like somebody who turns the music up really, really, really high so that they can avoid the sound of the rats that are gnawing inside of the doors. Some people would criticize us for what we're doing today, and we at least acknowledge that it's hard. It's hard to light this candle today. And Zephaniah says to us, shout, be glad, rejoice, O daughter of Jerusalem. Now, we should know that these words sounded just as discordant on Zephaniah's lips, the great prophet, as they do among us this morning. In fact, if we could go back 7 centuries prior to the time of Jesus, and we could follow Zephaniah around through his career, we follow him across the cobbled streets of Jerusalem and past the surrounding villages, and we listen to him, this itinerant preacher, going here and there, preaching wherever he could go throughout Judea, we would notice that these are very discordant words in his lifelong experience of being a prophet for God. Zephaniah was a prophet of judgment. He was a prophet who, like Jeremiah that we looked at 2 weeks ago, a prophet who had spent his entire career speaking a word that you can be sure he did not want to have to speak. For decades, Zephaniah had stood before the people of God and he had warned them over and over and over again, 7 centuries prior to the coming of Jesus. Zephaniah had warned the people of God. You could call it tough love if you wanted to. Over and over and over, Zephaniah had said, if you break the will of God, and if you continue to break the law of God, it will only be a matter of time until you are broken by it. He had warned his compatriots year after year after year after year. Here's the sort of thing that you might have expected to hear from Zephaniah. You might have walked out of a little restaurant and walked down the street and seen Zephaniah, who looked more like a street preacher than he did like an average pastor. And you might have seen Zephaniah standing out on the street corner saying, people, the seeds of violence are in all of us, but you don't have to feed it. Why do you feed the seeds of violence by putting in front of yourselves images and visions of violence all the time? If you let your children watch hours and hours of videos of violence, it's going to feed the seeds that are already there, and there will be a price to pay. You could have heard Zephaniah saying things like that. You could have heard Zephaniah saying, mothers and fathers, turn toward your children. If you allow the internet and the TV and the school system to raise your children, it will not bode well for you. There will be something to pay for this. You could have heard Zephaniah saying things like, you may think it a small thing to worship foreign gods and false idols. You may think it a small thing to treat as an ultimate concern that which is not really ultimate. You may think it a small thing to put all of your anxiety and importance into success or into your career or into your money, but I warn you, the time will come. Zephaniah was what I like to call an Advent preacher. Because Zephaniah was the kind of preacher who emphasized that God is coming. I want to rehearse this just a little bit this morning. I spoke about this a little bit last Sunday, but allow me to rehearse this morning. We, of course, emphasize that God is with us, rightly so. We must. What a tremendously good news. God is with us. We emphasize that God is with us and that God is the source of the peace that passes understanding, the love of God that is unconditional, God's forgiveness that is unfathomable. Many of you have experienced this, times in your lives when you have encounters with the peace that passes understanding, and it really does. When you can stand and say, I don't know why, I just know that things are okay, because God is with me and God is for me. When we emphasize that God is with us, we are emphasizing that in God we live and we move and we have our being, and God is good and God is love. That's what we emphasize when we're speaking about God who is with us, rightly. But the church has always also, and the scriptures have always also, recognized the importance of contemplating that God comes to us. God is with us, but God also comes. In every present moment, God is God is coming to us as though from the outside, as though from above. And when we emphasize that God is coming to us, we emphasize that God is different. God is not like us. God is righteous, and God is holy, and God is good, and God is light, and in God there is no darkness at all. And when God shows up, you become aware of that about yourself, which is not light, and is not holy, and is not good. And an Advent preacher like Zephaniah reminds the people of God that when God comes to us, it's uncomfortable because it's challenging. It pulls us out of the ruts of complacency, and it pulls us out of the status quo, and it pulls us out of the binds that we get ourselves in and the convictions that we have that I really, you know, I'm an old dog and I really can't learn any new tricks. The Advent preacher, Zephaniah, reminds us that God comes and God sort of troubles the waters and God lures us forward and God reminds us of what will happen if we stay stuck with where we are. And the Advent preacher, Zephaniah, comes to us in powerful love to remind us that God is coming to transform and to change and to make a difference in us. I remember this week I was remembering a conversation that goes back many, many, many years when I was working and another person that worked with me at a movie theater was a young lady, and this young lady discovered one day that I went to church, and so she began to describe to me her spiritual life, and she was a very religious lady. To hear her talk about it, she talked on and on about her religion and her spirituality and how God was helping her in her life, and then in the next movement, without a comma, she could begin gossiping about people and demeaning people and speaking down about people like nobody's business. In the very next moment, she could abusively speak to other people who worked in the same place and condescend to people, and she was a force of agitation and disruption, and if I may use the word with a small v, violence in our workplace. And this week I was thinking, that lady needed Advent. She needed Advent. She needed to know that God is with us, but God is also coming. God is coming to make a change and make a difference. She needed Advent. Zephaniah comes to us, and Zephaniah reminds us we need Advent. We need the reminder that God is with us all the time. We also need the reminder that God is coming. God is coming to make a difference. God is coming to make a change. If we break the will of God and if we break the law of God, it is only a matter of time until we and our society will be broken. This is a word of love. And so, it is no less discordant on the lips of Zephaniah to hear these words than it is in our own setting this morning. After decades of preaching the message of God coming, the message of Advent, Zephaniah, toward the end of his career perhaps, spoke these words, "Sing, O daughter Zion, shout aloud, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart." Not a portion of it. Not the left ventricle. No. "Be glad and rejoice with your whole heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day, the Lord will say to Jerusalem, 'Don't be afraid, O Zion. Don't let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love.'" Listen to these words. "He will rejoice over you with singing." You see, the audience has changed now. Zephaniah is now speaking in the final chapter of this book of prophecies to a smaller group of people, a group of people who have taken the first steps of change, just the first ones. Zephaniah is now speaking to, we call it a remnant, a smaller group within Judah, and he's speaking to this little remnant within Judah who have taken the first tiny steps of change. And if you would have talked to some of them, I wonder if they would have said things like, "Oh, look, I haven't really done much. Yes, I've laid aside my false gods. I've stopped treating as ultimately important that which is not ultimately important. And I've turned my heart back to God just in the beginnings of ways, just started. You might have heard people say, yes, I have begun to make the turn that God is calling me to make. But goodness, I've got so much further to go. I've only just barely gotten started. Yes, I've begun to notice my neighbors. I've spent my whole life living selfishly, and I've just begun to turn and to notice my neighbors and to recognize what their needs are and to begin to pray for them, but that's all. You might have heard people who said things, yes, I, after years of disregarding the covenants of my marriage, I've begun to take it seriously again. I'm going to do my vows. I'm going to complete what I've said I will do, but I've just begun to turn. And if you would have talked to the people who had heard Zephaniah's preaching and those that are listening to him today, they might have said, it's just a beginning. But it is to these people that Zephaniah says, shout and sing and be glad and rejoice with everything that you have, with all of your being. Do you know why? Because the Lord himself is going to sing over you. There's going to be a day when the Lord is going to quiet you with his love, and all of God's enemies will be put under his feet. Rejoice, because there's a time coming when God is going to sing over you. Do you wonder, by the way, how could Zephaniah, who in tough love had spoken the tough word to God's people for decades, have you wondered how he could now say with such exuberance, sing, shout, rejoice, be glad with everything that is within you? Do you know why? Because the prophet understood that God is not intimidated by tiny, tiny, tiny beginnings. You see, this is what we call remnant theology. Remnant theology is that God will work with what God gets. And if God only gets a little tiny bit, if God only gets a small sliver of people, God will work with a small sliver in the little insignificant beginnings, and God will work in the power of resurrection to take those small beginnings and to make them powerful and great. Do you remember? God didn't have much when Abraham and Sarah said, okay, you've called us on this journey. We're going to take the very first steps of obedience to you, O God, even though we don't know where this journey is taking us. We're going to leave the land in which we are comfortable, and we're going to begin walking south. That's all we know, south. And that's all God needed, just the beginning steps of faithfulness and obedience. God didn't have much when Moses left the burning bush. Moses, on trembling feet, taking the first step back to Egypt, with the awareness that somehow he didn't know how, he was going to go talk to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and tell him to let God's people go. He didn't know how he was going to do that. All he knew was that he was taking the first step from the wilderness back to Egypt, where he was going to do what God had called him to do. That's all. That's all he had. God did not have very much. When Esther, the queen of Persia, the Jewish woman who had become the queen of Persia, said, okay, today's the day. This is the time in which God has called me. I don't know exactly what it looks like. All I know is I'm going to take the first steps of obedience today. And God did not have very much when Mary, the mother of Jesus, said, okay, let it be done to me according to your will. And God did not have very much when Jesus was born, not in a palace, but laid in a manger. And God did not have very much when Jesus was crucified. And yet, here we are, 2,000 years later, in his name, announcing hope to the world because Jesus has come. And by the way, that Jesus who was born in a manger and that Jesus who was crucified on a cross, in between, when that Jesus was preaching, he said to his disciples, oh, by the way, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which though it is the smallest of all of the seeds, it grows up to become the largest of all of the shrubs. It becomes so large that all the birds of the air can nest in its branches because God is not intimidated with small starts and little beginnings. You see, the word of the Lord to God's people on a day like today is, rejoiced. This is not a cover-up. This is not to sweep over the events that took place in Newtown this week. In fact, it is to deal with them more seriously because, folks, the most subversive thing you might ever do in your entire life, the most subversive thing you might ever do is to rejoice in the Lord today, this day, on a day like this. Because when you rejoice in the Lord on a day like this, when you celebrate the love of God on a day like this, you are announcing that the love of God is greater than the principalities and the powers that hold our world in bondage. And you are announcing, as Nancy just reminded us, that there's going to be a day when the mustard seed will have gone into the fertile soil and it will have grown up and become the greatest of all of the shrubs. And on that day, the will of God will be all and in all. And on that day, the Lord will laugh over his people with rejoicing. And the Lord will sing over his people. And he will soften them with his love. So, the word of the Lord to God's people is, turn and keep on turning and keep on turning. Oh, you might say, it's such a small thing for me to simplify my life so that I can give myself so more wholly to the love and power of God. You might say, it's such a small thing for me to begin there. The Lord is not intimidated by your small starts. You might say, it is such a small thing, such a feeble thing for me to find some small ways to practice justice this time of year, to give my heart and mind and my concern to the poorest of the earth and to find some little tiny way to help out with them. The needs are so immense. What could I ever do? And friends, I just want to remind you, the Lord is not intimidated by small chances, starts. And you might say, it is such a tiny thing in a world of need like ours, where violence is so powerful, it is such a small thing for me to return to my own family and to return to my children or to return to my parents and my siblings and to be more committed to love than I have been in the past, just better at it than I've done before. You might say, that's such a small and tiny thing, and I just want to say, the Lord is not intimidated by small starts. The Lord has used them since time began, and the Lord is using them today. And the Lord is using them for those of us who are gathered here in this room, you and you and you and you and you and you. And the Lord is joining those with the other churches that are gathered around our community this morning. And the Lord is joining those with the other congregations that are gathered around our country and gathered around throughout the entire world. The Lord is using the little turning, what Eugene Peterson beautifully calls a long obedience in the same direction. It might seem a small thing. We just keep turning and turning and turning and turning for the rest of our lives. We just keep turning to the will and the goodness of God as best we understand it. And God's promise is there will be a day when he will rejoice over us. And there will be a day when the will of God will be all and in all and in all and in all. And toward that day, we begin rejoicing right now. Let us rejoice together.